Yeah. All right, we're good. Okay. Damn it. Excuse me. All right, this is Preferred Talk-Ons. Bill, Josh, how are you now?
A lot better than you, apparently.
Well, like I said, I'm slightly hungover, so I'm just going to apologize for all of the sounds that you may or may not hear through this microphone. It's going to be a little bit rough this morning. However, I'm excited.
We're here for you. Don't worry.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
It's an exciting day.
I'm very excited. We have a special guest here at the pod. We have Mountaineer Ross. Ross, how are you now?
Howdy, partners. How's everybody doing? Now, Keith, what camera am I supposed to look in here?
No. It's not a TV show.
Huh?
It's a podcast.
A podcast?
Yeah.
So, all right, so how am I supposed to get women if I'm not on camera?
Well, we can talk about that later.
Okay,
so all right. this thing right here, this is the microphone. You just speak into this, okay?
What's this, like the radio or something? We're going to be on the radio, you're saying?
Yes.
All right.
Just like the radio.
Oh, well, that's okay.
Internet.
The internet has the radio now?
Internet's got everything now, Ross.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. But anyway, I guess so. We're not on TV anymore. We lost our TV deal.
Lost our TV deal.
Oh,
not in Kansas anymore.
Yeah, I mean, we never had a TV deal, but yes, we lost it. Anyway, you are here to talk about West Virginia. Is that correct?
Yes, Keith, it sure is. I'm a big West Virginia fan. I guess I'll have to describe the way I look now. Imagine a big beard, and I'm also an expert kayaker. So if any ladies are listening, I'd love to take you out to the kayak, take you down the river there. But yes, Keith, I'm a big West Virginia fan.
Okay. Now did you grow up in West Virginia or just a West Virginia fan?
Yeah, I was born and raised in West Virginia, which means that you have no other choice but to be, a West Virginia fan, unless you grew up down there in the South and then you're a fan of, Marshall University, which they just keep saying over and over, we are. I don't understand it. they just keep saying it like we didn't already know. And, you know, the relationship between Marshall and WU, I can kind of explain it for you boys.
Okay. Please do.
Imagine you're an older brother.
Okay.
And your little sister turns 16 years old, and you pretty much just want to stop talking to her because you just have nothing in common anymore. They got a lot of things going on, you know, in the nether regions and with boys that you just don't want to talk about.
So
that's what it's like. We just don't really talk to each other.
When you say a lot going on, do you mean winning bowl games?
They did have a good season last year. Of course, they won one bowl game and they start chirping up there in Morgantown. But, hey, let them have their fun down there and let them keep beating Middle Tennessee Valley State. And West Virginia will play the real schools. I don't mean to disparage Marshall. I just didn't grow up down there. So, yeah.
Have you ever been to Marshall?
No, I've never been to Huntington, West Virginia. I imagine it's a dump.
All right. Well, how do you feel about all the changes that's gone through West Virginia?
The state, or do you mean like the football team?
No, over here, still on the mic. It's the football team, because this is a football podcast.
All right. Well, yeah, I actually wanted to start off with some breaking news.
Okay.
I would like to announce, I think I got first on this one. Dana Holgorsen is no longer the coach at West Virginia University. I want everyone to understand that.
Wow.
Okay. So that is breaking news here on Preferred Talk-Ons.
Big if true.
He is gone for a job. I believe it's in Houston, Texas, University of Houston. Dana said, pay me. West Virginia said no. So he went to Houston. So now West Virginia has a new coach.
That was fast.
This is also breaking news from Troy University. His name is Neil Brown. So,
okay,
this is all breaking here on Preferred Talk-Ons.
Wow. Well, this is very exciting.
I'm honored that we got such a big scoop on our second show.
You're very welcome. This is what happens. I was very excited to be the first guest in Preferred Talk-Ons history. So this is what happens. You get breaking news when you bring Mountaineer Ross on the pod.
I guess so. All right.
Now,
do you want to address, we talked about it on our first episode a little bit, the bet between you and Bill over here.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't listen to the first podcast.
Well, anyway.
Well, you are familiar with the bet.
Ross, we sent it to you.
Yeah. Yes, the bet. Me, Mountaineer Ross, made a bet over here with Billy one of the hosts. I am very confident in the new West Virginia coach to the point of where I was willing to bet one beer versus Billy over here getting a West Virginia themed tattoo on his butt.
Themed tattoo? I thought it was just the logo.
That's a theme, Bill.
what else would fall under West Virginia theme tattoo?
The actual Mountaineer with his musket would have been cool.
I would not hate that, actually. Yeah.
Your wife would be very happy with that, I'm sure.
She would.
Something like that, but we'll just go with the logo. All West Virginia has to do is win the national championship, which I believe we have a good shot to do with our new coach, Neil Brown, which was breaking here on Preferred Talk Homes.
Okay. So how do you think Neil Brown's going to do with the players that he has now?
Well, that's a great question, Keith. I actually have a note here because I prepared.
Over here in the mic.
Oh, sorry. Which camera again?
No.
Just the shiny camera that looks like like a popsicle.
Got it.
Right here.
Got it. Very, very sexual. West Virginia has had 9 players enter the transfer portal since Neil Brown has taken over, which is good. Clean house. Clean those bums out of there. We had 3 safeties transfer out in the past 36 hours. So that's good. We don't really even need safeties anyway because we're just going to pound the box. And I meant pound the box. All right.
And you're also going to play football.
Yep, that too. So that's the plan. Okay. We're just going to go ahead and clean house. And then Neil Brown's going to bring in his boys. And we're going to win some football games.
Okay. So a conservative prediction would be how many wins and losses?
Do you actually want me to do it? Do you want me to stick with the bet? Because I think I said national champion, but well, if you want me to be honest. Well,
even with the bet, I mean, there's still a wins and loss column there, right?
Well, I think best case scenario in all actuality, other than winning the national championship, would probably be like a 6 wins and go to a bowl game. That would be best case scenario. You know, it's going to be completely different offense. So,
I mean, in a first year head coach and no program legend quarterback and wide receiver and linebacker, because David Long went to the draft, right?
Correct.
I think a bowl game should be a pretty realistic goal. I didn't say which bowl game, not the college football playoff championship, but like if you can get to, you know, maybe Camping World Bowl, that would be honestly pretty good first season for Neil Brown.
Yeah, I think Neil Brown is, I mean, this is the thing. This is his first big job. He was an offensive coordinator at Texas Tech under Tommy Tuberville. Good God, that was probably a disaster. He was also the offensive coordinator at Kentucky. Jesus, have they ever scored a touchdown?
By someone not named Benny Snow.
Yeah, I mean, my goodness. Jared Lorenzen was great, though. I think that it's going to take a year, but I think with the talent that he already has, and, I mean, this guy's not a joke. He won 10 games 3 years in a row at Troy.
Beat LSU.
He was probably one of the best head coaches out there from a smaller school. So I imagine a nice little 6-6 record going to a bowl, not essentially in the Big 12 play, not being a joke.
Okay. Talk about the difference is offensively that you're going to see with Neil Brown.
Well, obviously, with Dana Holgorsen, I don't know if you guys saw, one of the big differences, Neil Brown hair will stay within the vicinity of his head. That's going to be a big thing. He's going to look great on the sidelines.
Is he a visor or a hat wearer?
I believe he's a visor. He is a visor guy.
That's a shame. Power
move. Which is also power might be breaking news.
When has a coach who wears a visor won a national title? Just saying. That's a great question.
Bill, I would question those things, too, if I was nervous about getting a tattoo, but I am not nervous about that sort of thing.
Fair enough.
As much as hat play comes in the winning college football games, I don't think it's going to make a difference here.
Spurrier? Yes. Did Spurrier ever win one?
Not in this century. He didn't say that.
That would be a huge difference. And with him looking so good on the sidelines, that also means the moms will – I mean, Neil Brown's a good-looking boy. The moms are going to love that. And let's all be honest, you don't recruit the player, you recruit the mom. That's going to help out quite a bit. And honestly, you know, obviously Dana Holgorsen was a chucker. I'm not afraid to admit that.
So how do you feel about in Big 12 play? You know, besides the schools that you're going to play anyway, how do you think you're going to do in the Big 12?
Well, you got to beat the teams that you're supposed to beat. Kansas State hasn't been good since God knows when. I know Les Miles is apparently a good coach. He loves to eat grass and take money from sponsors. He is probably going to be a lot longer than Neil Brown of turning things around because no one wants to go to school there for football. So you got to win those games. Then you got to surprise a couple teams. It's not uncommon for Oklahoma State to lose a game. It's not uncommon.
Watch yourself.
And I'm just being honest.
My here, Oklahoma State Cowboys.
All right, Billy. Also, I just wanted to say that I really like how this podcast has three Michigan fans, so it really diversifies the opinions. I'm sure that's going to be out really well for you guys.
Opinion of thoughts never good, so we wanted just to keep it all uniform and as vanilla as possible.
Yeah, that's a good idea. People love vanilla.
That's right.
I know I do. So you just got to beat those teams that are beatable. Texas Tech is trash. Those are all winnable games. If you win four of them and then you beat the shitty teams that you're supposed to beat that are non-conference, then all of a sudden you have six wins.
So do you consider Iowa State still a shitty team?
Iowa State's probably the best team in the conference. Their defense is very good. They didn't lose a whole lot from their defense. The only thing they really lost was their running back. And I think Matt Campbell was probably the best coach in the Big 12. They could run out of this. They could win the whole thing. They could win the title and somehow. Now, I didn't say this out loud to you guys because I know we're not on camera, so it's fine. Iowa State could theoretically run the table and actually get into the college football playoff.
Okay.
Because you know how they like to let one Big 12 team in there every once in a while.
Looking at their schedule, I mean, they could be undefeated going into November.
Iowa State?
Yeah.
I was going to say the exact opposite. I think they have a brutal schedule. Week four, it starts with TCU, at West Virginia, at Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, at Oklahoma, Texas.
I only heard one loss in there, Bill, and that was at West Virginia. But other than that, those are all pretty much winnable games.
Then the last 2 weeks of the year are Kansas and Kansas State. So those are two definitely winnable games. Kansas State has their own new coach. But
are we going to do another live bet on this?
I wouldn't say that Iowa State is the team to beat in the Big 12.
Would you say Oklahoma is still the team to beat?
Yes.
Yes.
With Jalen Hurts?
Yes. Future Heisman Trophy winner, Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I heard that take.
I thought you said you didn't listen to our podcast.
Well, see, I listened to Minute. Now, if you're listening to the first podcast after this, which most people probably will, this is when all the viewers are going to probably come in.
Listeners.
You'll have to just probably skip to about minute 58 where they finally bring me up in an hour-long podcast, and then that's when it really gets going. But, yeah, I kind of forgot what we were talking about. So,
Iowa State.
Oh, yes. Matt Campbell's very good at coaching, so he'll probably do pretty good. Okay. I just also want to make a quick note about Oklahoma. I know that Jalen Hurts is apparently sometimes good at football when he comes in for a better player. So maybe that will work out for him this time. But I also want to thank Oklahoma for, even though they get every transfer in the entire world, for finally not blocking a transfer and letting West Virginia get Mr. Austin Kendall, who obviously at being at Oklahoma means he's a Heisman candidate this year. So he has that lineage, and I think he's going to do very well for the West Virginia Mountaineers.
Okay. So realistically, in your mind, how far away do you think West Virginia is from competing for a national title?
Keith, we're West Virginia. We don't normally compete for national titles. But as far as being a 10-win team, mm-hmm. They're probably 2 years away. I mean, look what he did at Troy. I mean, 1 year, 4-8, and then the rest were 10-win seasons. So
he had an 11-2 year at Troy.
Yes, he did.
That's incredible.
And he also won all three of those years. He also won the bowl game as well. Like I said, I know I've been kind of being funny, but Neil Brown was actually one of the better coaches available, and I'm very happy that West Virginia picked him up.
I'm actually surprised he didn't take a job after the 2017 season. That year he went 11-2 and beat LSU, he was easily one of the best group of five coaches available. But
I mean, unless he heard something that, you know.
Well, that's the thing about the coaching carousel, is that you always hear about the immediate availabilities, and then you have to think about what will be open the following year. So if you can stick it out one more year.
USC.
That's what I think. Seth Luttrell at North Texas, he had a lot of opportunities after the 2018 season to take a new job, but he's going back to North Texas this year. He's got Mason Fine as one more year as the quarterback, and if they can win 9 or 10 games, he could get himself a real nice job next year.
And yeah. And also, thank God we didn't get Luke Fickell. That guy's fucking trash. Oh, win at Cincinnati. Who hasn't done that, Luke? Big fucking deal.
Tommy Tuberville, he didn't win at Cincinnati.
Tommy Tuberville's trash, too. Thank God Neil Brown was only under him for 2 years, 2010 to 2012. He probably forgot everything he taught him. But, yeah, great job, Luke. People were upset that they didn't pick Luke Fickell because he did so great at Ohio State.
Only one against Michigan.
Couldn't even beat fucking Michigan. I'm sorry, Keith. I didn't mean to. I know we're on TV. Am I FCC going to get on me for cursing? I apologize.
No, you're good. You're good. All right. The camera won't pick up cursing. It'll block it out immediately.
Good. Yeah. It's like Jerry Springer. Good.
Yeah. Just like Jerry Springer. Correct.
That's fantastic. Another thing, you asked about the differences between Neil Brown and Dana Holgorsen. I was kind of alluding to it. Dana Holgorsen loves to chuck the ball, loves to throw it. Obviously, with the only returners we really have on offense that have talent are in the running backs. We have three running backs that are probably pretty solid. We got Pettaway, McCoy, and watch out for Letty Brown. That's a big boy. He loves to run the ball. Neil Brown is known for more running the ball. So that's going to be a huge difference that I think a lot of West Virginia fans are going to like, because I think that we're those types of people. We like to be gritty. We like being tough, and nothing's tougher than running the ball three times in a row, four times maybe. Who knows?
It's Big Ten football.
Hey, Josh, I don't know if you know this, but not everybody wants to talk about the Big Ten all the time.
Well, talk to me about Texas being a Big 12 guy. Are they back?
I heard through the grapevine that people were saying, is Texas back? I know that the coach there, Mr. Herman, he has his little tagline, okay, hook 'em, or something like that. Is that okay, cool, hook 'em? First of all, I wouldn't like to be associated with Tom Herman. I think he's a terrible person, and he loves massage parlors. So I just think that the only thing Texas really has is that quarterback, that young fellow. What's his name, Josh?
Ellinger. Sam Ellinger.
Yeah, and that's great that he won a bowl game against who was it, Josh?
Georgia.
Big deal.
it's only a top five team in the country. Big deal.
And their best play, their best their quarterback, what's his name, Fields, transferred. So I mean, how is there trouble out there? Who's their coach? Kirby Smart.
Mm-hmm.
You got to ask the question: is there trouble down there in Georgia?
I think so. Only back to back SEC championship appearances.
Yeah, I mean. They're in trouble.
Really problematic program.
Also, you guys mentioned, speaking of teams that are always good, you mentioned how in basketball, now, I don't know if you guys know this or not. Obviously, I'm a huge NBA fan, if you couldn't tell from the way I talk.
Sorry to hear that.
You guys claim that you're tired of seeing the same teams win all the time in the NBA. However, in college football, the same two teams play each other every single year for the championships. So,
if I may rebuttal, we did bring that up on the first podcast. I said
– go ahead, listen, minute 58.
It's going to be Clemson and Alabama in the national title, but there are 128 other teams in FBS worth watching, and there's a lot of fun storylines to watch. So it's not all about the college football playoff.
I completely agree with you, Bill. I just wanted to give you guys a little gruff.
In the NBA, when there's 30 teams who don't play defense, and it's the same two in the titles every year, it's a little different.
Well, I'm – Big 12 country, so we don't play defense either.
Fair point.
So
actually,
we love scoring.
I think we drew the connection between the Big 12 and the NBA just now.
Yeah. Finally, someone made that connection. I feel like Stephen A. Smith right now.
I feel really dumb for actually not realizing that earlier. Of course, it makes sense.
Oh, well, you know.
So this is now. Correct me if I'm wrong, boys. Now this TV show is for fantasy. You said fantasy college football.
College fantasy football. Yeah. College fantasy
So now. Correct me if I'm wrong. So fantasy college football is just us imagining scenarios where crazy things happen, or?
Let me break it down for you here. Okay. So like the regular NFL, you draft players who you think will be good.
Oh, yeah.
The purpose of this being you draft players who have very good statistical numbers, and those statistical numbers are awarded point values.
Yeah.
You assign a roster with ideally the highest point values, and you beat your friends who have a roster with less point values.
Oh, so we're playing computer football.
Computer football, correct.
Yeah. All right.
Computer
now,
college football.
We call it pooter ball.
Right. Well, I mean, I did
send you instructions.
Yeah.
I would have sent you instructions because I asked for an email. However, you sent me your physical address.
Yep.
I need an email address. All right. Do you have one of those?
I'll probably – listen, Keith, come on now. I know how to get on a computer. Let's relax. This will be my first year playing college fantasy football, and I think – I have a feeling I'm going to be on the pod. The pod, is that what you guys call it?
Sure,
yeah. Weird name for a TV show. I'll probably be on here again, so I'll make sure to tell everybody how I'm doing in the fantasy. And
Do you have a team name picked out yet?
No, I do not. I'm open to suggestion. If all the fans out there would like to send in a request, like Keith said, I prefer snail mail. I'll put up a Keith. Maybe we can just tell them later by address, and we'll all right. Sounds good.
Yeah, we'll tweet out your physical address so you don't have to worry about that.
Sounds good.
As far as specific players, are you targeting anyone? Austin Kendall, perhaps?
Well, the good thing, I did listen to the first pod a little bit there.
You did listen.
How much have you listened to, Ross? Your stories are starting to mix up here.
Lots of
Well, you guys kind of bullied me into listening to it. So I listened to it. I didn't like the picture on it. Picture quality was terrible. I remember, Bill, you kind of saying that one of the better quarterbacks to get would be someone who throws and also runs.
Correct.
And in all actuality, Austin Kendall does both of those things. Now, I'm not saying – listen. West Virginia had one of the best fantasy quarterbacks last year in Will Grier. Love him. Love his hair. Love everything about him. We miss you, Will. Hook down. All right? So, now, and if Austin Kendall can live up to his potential that they saw at Oklahoma, he actually could be a pretty good fantasy quarterback. I think it's going to be one of those things where you're going to have to wait a couple weeks, see how he does against those bad teams. And if he's really slinging it up there and running a lot, then maybe it's somebody you pick up in season. I probably won't draft him unless I'm just being goofy. You know me.
So would you suggest any West Virginia running backs?
The three I just said, I think it's going to be one of those things where it's going to be kind of by committee in the beginning, and then I think one will kind of show up. I have a feeling it's going to be Letty Brown because, like I said, he's big boy. He could kind of break off a little bit better, but don't sleep on McCoy either. Pettaway's just kind of the typical, like he's 5'10" and he's kind of fast and kind of strong, like kind of in the middle, where they're kind of the opposites. McCoy is very quick and Letty Brown's a big boy. So as like, a big boy, I prefer Letty Brown, but we'll see.
Right. So like Mama Bear, Papa Bear, Baby Bear type thing.
Sort of. So I imagine the first couple weeks he'll be by committee and then Neil Brown will kind of make his decision on who to give the load to. Uh-oh. the football.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Neil Brown does not give loads to anyone. I promise. Except for his wife. He has two beautiful children.
All right. In terms of passing the ball, are there any wide receivers you see blossoming? Because David Sills is gone. Is Gary Jennings gone too?
Gary Jennings got drafted by the Seattle Seahawks. Him and DK Metcalf are going to.
A lot of rebuilding then.
Yeah. Well.
Maybe not rebuild, but reload.
We have a boy named Sims. I think he's still on the team. Who was also
just Sims.
Yeah, Charles. I think no, that's not right. That was a running back a couple years ago. He was kind of the kick returner
Marcus Sims.
Marcus Sims. I just want everybody to know that with this fancy technology we have today, Josh is literally thumbing through a magazine to figure out who these players are instead of just having a laptop and looking it up.
Marcus Sims has caught his average. Reception is 16.7 yards.
Yeah, he goes big. He's quick. Another one, we got an Alabama transfer a couple years ago. His name's TJ Simmons. I think this might be the year because there's no David Sills. There's no Gary Jennings in front of him where he might break out and have those 800, 900 yards, and Sims is just going to run deep. And hopefully, I don't know if Austin Kendall even has an arm, but hopefully he can throw it to him.
Right, okay. So as we're going over wide receivers, we just mentioned the coaching change and the philosophy change behind that. So do you think with the changeover in offensive linemen, obviously you recruited a bunch, you know, try to change over, be a more balanced system. So do you think you're going to lose receptions based on that? And then who the receptions are going to go to? Is it going to go to Marcus Sims and then the two guys behind him? Or is it going to be more of a option run out game?
Yeah, there's going to be some more options for sure. Austin Kendall, he's quick. for a white boy. He's got some speed. And the thing that's going to be interesting, TJ Sims is more the possession receiver, where it's third and seven and you need to get a first down, where Sims is more of the we run a fun play on first and 10 to begin the game and throw it to 80 yards to him. So I think that's the way it's going to kind of work. Sims is the home run ball. Well, Simmons is the possession receiver.
Let's get out of West Virginia, stick with the Big 12. Any other names that you are looking at as far as drafting early on?
No.
Okay, so let's say in theory you have the first pick overall in the draft. Who would you take?
That's a really good question, Bill. I appreciate you asking me that as the first guest in Preferred Talk On's history.
You're welcome.
I would take a look at Kyler Murray. I think he's pretty good.
I don't want to break this to you, but I have breaking news of my own. Kyler Murray is not at Oklahoma anymore.
Wow, is huge.
He's been drafted.
That is
by
huge.
The Oakland A's.
He is matriculated to his skills to the NFL.
Oh, that makes sense. I mean, if we're talking Big 12, I think you got to look at
– not just Big 12. Just you have the number one overall pick, all of college football, all of Division I college football. Sorry, FBS college football.
Oh, I think you got to look at Frank Gore Jr. Out of Florida Atlantic. I just want everyone to know that literally Frank Gore is so old that his son committed to play college football. That's how old Frank Gore is.
His son committed. He's not available to be drafted.
Huh?
His son committed. That doesn't mean he's available to be drafted. Ross, I just want an answer. Who would you take first overall?
I don't know. To be honest, I have no idea. I haven't even looked.
You're be kidding me.
You were bragging so much about how prepared you were.
I was prepared to talk about West Virginia football. West Virginia football doesn't have a ton of good fantasy boys. I can tell you some players that I like. Okay. I think Khalil Tate is probably going to be good again. Thank God. Because Kevin Sumlin, how can you mess that up? For God's sake. You had Johnny Manziel, and you have literally Johnny Manziel 2.0, and somehow you messed it up. What an idiot. You know, look at him. Obviously, you got to look at stupid, what's his name, Tua Tagovailoa fuckface.
No.
Are we not allowed to talk bad about him?
I wouldn't go that far.
Why? What's wrong with saying that? I'm sure Nick Saban will somehow figure out a way to make him unlikable, even though he seems to be like the nicest kid in the world. Thanks, Nick. Also, by the way, Nick is a West Virginia boy. Just wanted to say that as well. And also, Jimbo Fisher is a West Virginia boy. You guys never seem to mention that. We have a great coaching tree there in that state.
No, I did not mention that Jimbo Fisher is from West Virginia. Sorry.
I think that should be mentioned pretty much every pod. But
so why are they still not in West Virginia?
Because Neil Brown is one of the best coaches in the country. We had to make a decision. I think we made the right one.
Okay.
But in all seriousness, maybe Tate Martell, now that he has an opportunity in Miami, I'm sure they're going to run a fun offense. It was nice of the Miami coach to tell Temple to go F themselves and then him just come back to Miami. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure Tua is probably the best pick. Who cares? It's boring. Pick Austin Kendall.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to discuss a couple more things with Mountaineer Ross.
All right, and we are back here with Mountaineer Ross, Preferred Talk-Ons. We're going to get his official predictions for West Virginia football this year, and I know he has probably something to say about that.
I would like to say to all my West Virginia friends that are listening or, I'm sorry, watching out there, that they asked me to be serious, and when I mean be serious, I mean even though I think that we're going to go undefeated and win the national championship, I'm going to say these – when I say no to a game, that means that they could lose. So I'm really, really sticking my neck out here for this podcast because my friends at home will be upset. So I just want everybody to know that.
All right. We will get started here with August 31st. They go against James Madison at home. Ross, how does Neil Brown do in his debut?
I think that I just want everybody to know James Madison actually is pretty good at football. Mike Houston, who left for East Carolina, was a very good coach. So I actually think this game's going to be closer than it probably should be, but I just think the talent level is just – West Virginia will probably pull that one out. But it will be closer and people will be scared for Neil Brown in the beginning, which will be fun.
And from there they go to Missouri, Kelly Bryant.
Who? Kelly Bryant, the guy who couldn't even beat out white kid with long hair. Yeah, I think that's a W. Actually, I think that will be a surprise win that people will be like, oh, crap. Then they'll go the opposite. They'll barely beat JMU. They'll beat Missouri. Then everybody will be like, oh, great. Neil Brown's the best.
So NC State.
That's a loss.
That's very quick.
Yeah, that's probably going to be a loss. Like I said, undefeated, but I think NC State, they have a lot of talent. And I thought Ryan Finley honestly held them back last year because he thinks he can make throws that he can't. That's probably why he was picked after Will Grier.
And from there, powerhouse, Kansas Jayhawks.
Les Miles can lick a taint. West Virginia with the win.
That's on the road. Is that does that change your mind?
I think it's going to be close. Like I said, there's just going to be a roller coaster of like Neil Brown gets a win against a decent team, and everyone's going to be like, "Oh, Neil Brown's great," and then they will get close losses against JMU and Kansas, and people will be asking for his head. It's going to be a lot of fun in the beginning of the season.
Everyone knows Lawrence, Kansas is a tough place to play a football game.
Yeah, I bet you the 93 people that watch the game will probably have a lot of fun. But Les Miles is not ready yet. And I think West Virginia is holding on to a lot more talent. And I haven't have they even gotten a recruit since he got there? I haven't heard anything. So
from there, you guys got your bye week.
That's a win. Neil Brown just make sure everybody's feeling good.
2 weeks to prepare for Texas at home.
Yeah. I hate saying it, cause I'm a big horns down guy. However, I have a feeling that West Virginia is going to not be able to pull that bad boy out. You said it's at Texas, Josh?
It's home.
It's home? Oh, shit. People are going to be pissed. Yeah, they're probably not going to pull that out. Texas is a superior football team at this very minute.
Just can't beat Maryland. Anyway, sorry. just wanted to throw that in there.
Bill, I didn't even know you were in the room. I apologize.
Hi, Ross. I'm here.
All right.
From there, they got at home again. Iowa State.
Like I said earlier in the TV show here, Iowa State might end up being the best team in the Big 12. Unfortunately, it's going to be a close battle after they literally took a dump on us last year. Matt Campbell was pretty good at coaching, and I think, unfortunately, for West Virginia, that's going to be a loss, possibly.
Then they hit the road, tough road stretch at Oklahoma.
Lincoln Riley can suck a big toe. But unfortunately, they even though it's going to be high, Austin Kendall's going to love it. He's going to go back and show Lincoln why he should have just kept him. And Jalen Hurts will probably end up like the national championship from 2 years ago, get taken out. But Oklahoma still wins.
Thursday night game at Baylor.
I want to go ahead and say out loud that I'd like all of us to watch that game together because it's going to be a fun night.
Halloween.
On a Thursday.
And it's Halloween.
I'll be dressed as
Neil Brown.
So, ladies, look out for me. I'll be at Taps. Are we supposed to say where we're located? Do we admit where we're located here?
No, we did not.
Okay. Just look up the word Taps and you'll find me. Unfortunately, on that Halloween night, it's going to be a shootout. But what's Baylor's coach's name, Bill?
Matt Rhule.
Matt Rhule, he's a pretty good coach. And he has turned around that program. Because it was literally a dumpster fire.
I think that's offensive to dumpster fires.
It was a dumpster fire on top of a dumpster. And unfortunately, top one's on fire. Probably Baylor's going to pull that one out, unfortunately.
Okay.
Texas Tech. Guns up.
That's a win. I think Texas Tech is trash. It amazes me that Cliff Kingsbury penis got an NFL coaching job. It's unbelievable. That guy hasn't won anything ever, but he went on a date with Britney Spears once and gets an NFL coaching job. It is bonkers.
Well, Texas Tech is also breaking in a new head coach.
What's his name?
Matt Wells from Utah State.
Wow. Big signing there. What did that guy do last year, Bill?
Went 11-2 and almost won the Mountain West.
Oh, almost won the Mountain West. Big deal. Call me when he wins a Sun Belt.
Kansas State on the road. New coach.
I actually like the Kansas State hiring, the Colorado State boy.
North Dakota State.
That's what I said. North Dakota State. They're usually a powerhouse. I think that Kansas State hasn't really lost anyone in that transfer, and they were at least competitive last year. So unfortunately, I'm gonna have to say that West Virginia probably won't be able to pull that bad boy off.
They lost their running back from last year, Alex Barnes. He was, I mean, he got the ball from them like 30 times a game. They really didn't have.
And he was what? Bill, wasn't he a white boy?
I don't remember.
White honest, running back,
but he almost 1,400 yards, 12 touchdowns, over 5 yards a carry. That's pretty impressive. That's a lot of production to lose. I'm just trying to make you feel better about this game, Ross.
Keith, I know you're keeping track. Where? What is West Virginia's current record right now?
So, 1, 2, 3, 4. You're 4-6 right now.
All right. I have a feeling what's going to happen in the next two games.
Ooh. Oklahoma State.
You watch your mouth.
It'll probably be a night game.
That's going to be a lot of fun. I remember one time last year, I got super drunk and watched Oklahoma State versus West Virginia with, I believe you guys are going to have him on, is it Spartan Matt?
That's right.
He doesn't know that I was watching it with him, but I was watching it with him.
how does that work out?
Where Oklahoma, we were at the same place, but we weren't sitting next to each other.
So, like, you saw him.
Yeah, I waved.
I just thought, like, you were watching through his living room window or something.
Bill, don't be ridiculous.
Sorry.
But, yeah, we sort of watched that game together. Oklahoma State broke my heart that night. I think that Neil Brown knows that, and he's going to be very excited. And I think that's going to be a win because it's not like Oklahoma State is known to win in those games at the end of the season. So no worries there.
You finish up the season in Fort Worth versus the Horned Frogs.
Bill did some sort of – did the camera catch that? Bill did some sort of moose knuckle?
No.
Was that what that was?
Yeah, I swung the camera to catch that.
All right, I'm glad you caught that.
Is the Horned Frogs hand gesture.
Probably not appropriate. I think West Virginia is going to win that game. Has TCU, Gary Patterson, what is that guy doing to stay in there? Just get out.
That's a good question.
What is he doing?
He's like one of the longest tenured coaches in college football. Listen, he's played in four conferences.
He did really, really well there, but something's happened in the last few years. He's just got to get out.
Andy Dalton.
All right. Wow, what a talent.
So you believe the West Virginians are going to settle up at 6-6 this year?
Yeah. They're going to go last 2 weeks, get a couple wins, and then we're going to play some terrible team in a bowl, and we're going to win.
Do you have a bowl prediction?
Bill, give me a couple bowls that 6-6 teams would be in.
That's actually what I'm looking up right now.
Oh, mention the Camping World Bowl.
I did mention the Camping World Bowl. To be honest, I don't know which bowls have which conference ties, but just off the top of my head, there's a First Responder Bowl, which is Big 12 versus Conference USA. There's the Cheez-It Bowl, like last year, which is the beautiful TCU versus Cal.
That will probably – I'm going to go ahead and make that prediction. West Virginia is going to play in the Cheez-It Bowl.
Then
is that because you like Cheez-It?
I do like – no free ads, Keith. So Cheez-Its, when you want to pay, let me know. They will play probably like, I don't know, University of Washington, and they'll beat them.
Liberty Bowl is Big 12 versus SEC or another tie-in. And actually, according to the Athlon magazine, which I have in front of me, they have West Virginia versus Memphis in the Liberty Bowl.
Oh, well, all right. Well, I like playing for our country, and Liberty, Lady Liberty is a nice lady, so I wouldn't mind that either. And Penny Hardaway is the coach of Memphis, correct? That's correct. An easy win.
Well,
all right,
that's a story. Absolutely. Nailed it.
All right. I want to bring up something earlier that two of us did not agree on, and that's the Iowa State schedule. Bill, you said it was tough.
Yes.
Josh, you said it was easy, and they can go 9-1. Are we going to do the first lemon bet on air right now?
I'm ready to do a lemon bet.
Are you ready to put your mouth in the line for this?
Let's do it.
All right. So what is the metric here?
That's what I don't – because Josh said they could be undefeated come November, right?
That's coming into the Oklahoma game.
That's what you had said, coming into the Oklahoma game. So is mine just to say they won't be undefeated in the Oklahoma game? Because that feels like it's – the odds are a lot tilted towards my favor.
Well, do you want to go anything below 7-2?
Just give me one loss.
You want one loss.
I'll take that. Going into the Oklahoma game?
So I need two losses between Northern Iowa, Iowa, Louisiana Monroe, Baylor, TCU, West Virginia, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State. I'll take that.
I'll take the one loss.
I think they'll lose two games in that stretch.
Okay, I'll take – yeah.
All right. And so the whole point of the lemon bet whoever loses has to eat an entire slice of a lemon. Not including the rind. That's just gross.
Yeah. Which is Josh.
Pussies.
Iowa State. Two losses. Heading into.
I'm making a lot of bets in the Big 12 this year. I have a little territory in my back dedicated to West Virginia.
Yep.
And they have
yep.
a potentially very sour snack riding on the Cyclones.
All right. Before we wrap up here, Ross, I do want your predictions on the college football playoff. What four teams do you think are going to make it this year?
All right. That's a very good question. Now, as a West Virginia man, when I make these sort of predictions, they tend to be right. So I'm going to go with two underdog teams. All right. Clemson and Alabama will probably make it in there.
Really going out on a limb here.
Yeah. I mean, no safe bets there.
Yeah.
We never said Ross was a temperate man.
No.
Then I'm going to go with let's see here.
So you have an ACC. You have an SEC.
Yep.
Do you think someone from the Big 12 will make it in?
Well, here's the problem. If Iowa State is the best team in the Big 12, they probably won't make the college football playoff because it's Iowa State and it's not very sexy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with West Virginia.
Jeez.
And let's see here.
There are more teams in this packet if you want to flip pages.
Oh, God. It's getting worse. Let's just say, for your God's sake, let's just say Ohio State.
Okay. So you really?
I don't know if the camera caught that. Everyone's faces immediately dropped because once again, a diversified host here.
They did not drop. It was unsurprising.
I think it's a perfectly legitimate take. But
now,
do you really think West Virginia is going to make the playoff? I want a real fourth team.
No. All right. Well. All right. Let's see here.
Anybody from the Pac-12?
Yeah, right. I think that Conference USA has a better shot of making the college football playoff than the fucking Pac-12.
Jeez. Are you willing to lemon bet that?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That'd be hard to measure, though, because if no one from the Pac-12 makes it, that needs to stop the hook.
You know what I'm going to go? I'm going to go with one of my close friends. He's the head coach of Louisiana State University, Ooh. Coach O. I'm actually going to go LSU as the fourth team.
Okay.
And that would be a ton of fun. Coach O and I go way back to the Bayou where we ate a lot of crawfish and whatever else they eat down there.
Gumbo.
Butter.
Jambalaya.
A lot of buttered bread. I can tell you that.
Okay.
So
your final four, go Clemson, Tags. Alabama, LSU, Ohio State.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. Now, I want everybody to know that I did literally zero research before I made these four picks, but two of them are right. So,
okay.
Who do you have in the actual final?
Bill, it'll probably be Alabama and Clemson.
I like how you say Clemson like it has a P in it.
Clemson. And I think Trevor Lawrence, who's also probably – this is, the Pooter football talk here. He's probably one of the top picks. If I was him, I would have just not played football ever again after leading Clemson to the national title. But that's just me. He's too busy playing basketball with Dabo Sweeney, probably about to tear his damn ACL like an idiot. And also, you look too much like a girl, Trevor. Cut your damn hair.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Mountaineer Ross, for coming on the show today. We're very happy to have you.
I feel honored, Keith. Thank you so much for making me the first guest in Preferred Talk On's history. If there's any ladies out there watching, I am available.
All right. Well, yeah. Well, I mean, of course, we wouldn't have anybody else. Not here, Ross. We only have you.
Thanks, Keith. I also want to just make one note. Josh has done literally nothing but look at a magazine this entire time.
All right.
If you need a third host, let me know. You want to bump him out.
Okay. I'll write that down, and we'll see. I still need an email address from you.
All right. Well, we'll talk. We'll talk. I think I can figure something out.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for our pod special with Mountaineer Ross. Bill, Josh, you have anything else?
We'll be recording our regularly scheduled program middle of the week. Keith is not giving us any information as far as the show notes go. Everything on there,
some sort of surprise,
just a secret.
So. I'm very excited. You guys are gonna love it, and I think people that are gonna listen are actually gonna like it too.
We are. I do know that we're gonna talk a little non-Power Five.
Right. Yeah, we're gonna clean up a little bit of the teams that we missed our first episode. Mm-hmm. We're gonna kind of do some errors and corrections that we things we said.
Right.
But
I like how we said that. I like to focus on the non-Power Five, and then we
never
once
talked
about
Power Five. So
except for Maction,
we'll be talking more groups of five later this week. So that's all I have.
Yeah. Good. All right.
Sounds good.
See you guys this week.